Hey, friends, we're so thankful you've taken the time to join us here tonight on Living Faith Network. I'm Dr. Don R. Zampona, the pastor at Green Valley Baptist Church in Lebanon, Virginia, and you are tuning in to Digging Deeper, our ministry program here on the Living Faith Television Network, and we are so thankful that you are with us as we preach tonight about floating on God's promises. And I'm going to be reading from the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, Genesis 6, verses 8 through 13. And so you follow along as I read. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make within the ark, and shall pitch it within and without. And then God gave Noah the directions on how he was to fashion that ark. Well, would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father God, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy tonight. We thank you, Father, that we can read in your word that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Father, we would and we pray for every man to find grace in the eyes of our Lord. And Father, we just give thanks tonight for Jesus Christ, our sin bearer, our redeemer. Lord, that he took it upon himself to pay the price for our sins. Lord, we thank you that we can be not only standing on your promises in this world, but Father, we can be floating upon your promises if we will but follow Noah's example and be faithful unto the end. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, family and friends, when I think about things like this, one thing I know is that most folks, whenever they purchase a new car or an appliance, most people read the instruction manual because they want to understand how that car or that appliance is supposed to work so they can operate their car or that appliance properly. And by the same token, when I think about that, I'm amazed at the number of people today who claim to be a child of the living God, and yet they find no time to hardly, if ever, or rarely read the Word of God. No wonder we have so many weird ideas and so many falsehoods being taught floating around in this world today. And so allow me to ask you this question tonight, wherever you are you an avid reader of God's Word? I find it interesting that we're living in a world, thanks to social media, where people can claim to know just about anybody. And there are a whole lot of people today who are claiming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, but that's not the question that really matters. The question that really matters is, does Jesus Christ know you? Are you trusting him? Are you spending time with him in his word? And that's what we're going to explore tonight here on Digging Deeper. See, I've been saying this for quite some time on this ministry program, is that the Bible is our manual. It tells us where we came from, what we are, and what God expects us to do. Listen, the God who created us knows best how we should live, and to ignore the Bible is to abandon the greatest life manual ever given to mankind. And yet we have a world of folk today who claim to know Jesus Christ, and yet they're living as if they do not know Jesus Christ at all. And that's because they are ignoring God's word, they are ignoring God's warning, and so they continually find themselves, if you will, in some sort of trouble or another, and all because they're trying to manage their lives apart from God's word. Well, if you stop and think about that, friend, that's like trying to fly an airplane without having first read the manual or taken flight instructions. If you've not done either of those and you're trying to fly a plane, you're headed for a sure fall. And so I'd like to remind all of us that God has a divine purpose that God desires to fulfill in each one of our lives. And we read about that here, and we know that's true because of what God did in the life of Noah and his family. God had a divine purpose, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, what's true for Noah is going to be true for you and I. And we discover God's purpose for our lives by reading his word, and more importantly, by obeying it. And so if you're in this world today claiming to be a Christian and yet you're ignoring the Bible, allow me to tell you straight up and straight out, you're in trouble. And you're in trouble because you are ignoring the greatest life manual that was ever given to man. Beyond that, how can you honestly really say that you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding, that in all your ways you are acknowledging him, and that God is directing your path? How can any of us claim to trust in the Lord if what we're really doing is leaning upon our own understanding? Certainly we must use our mind, certainly we must think things through, but we must not lean upon our own reasoning apart from God's word. I mean, common sense. And there's not a whole lot of that in use today, in my opinion, but common sense told David that the giant Goliath was bigger and stronger than he was, but faith said God would defeat the giant. You can read all about that in 1 Samuel 17. Human reasoning told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that the fiery furnace would cremate them, but faith said God could and would protect them and preserve them. You can read all about that in Daniel chapter 3. That's why Paul could write to the Romans in Romans 10 and 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so the point here is very simple. God is the creator, and he's given his creatures, that's you and me, a book called the Bible that helps us understand who God is, how God works, and what God wants us to do. It's a book that contains precepts for us to obey, promises for us to believe, and principles for us to understand. Now, nobody can claim to know God apart from his word, and yet many people do. They claim they know God. Well, friend, do you realize even the devil and his angels do that? They claim they know God, but do you think the devil and his angels do God's word? Not at all. Are you like the devil and his angel, claiming to know God but not obeying what God has said in his word? Friend, if you do not understand the God of this book, the Bible is the God you claim to know, really God. Is he the creator of the universe? Is he some false idol to you? Who is the God you claim you really know? Or is the God you claim just an idol, as I mentioned a moment ago, that you've created? Now, we didn't read the first seven verses of Genesis chapter 6. I began where Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Now, the first seven verses point out that one of the devil's most successful weapons is compromise. Do you realize he defeated the world before the flood by it? And Satan is doing a great job today with a weapon of compromise in our world. He did it to Israel in the land of Moab and also in Canaan. And he did it by getting them to abandon their privileged position of separation from sin and communion with God. The prophets warned the Jewish people time and again not to compromise with the pagan gods around them. But their warning went unheeded. And the temptation they faced are the same temptations that you and I face today. That temptation is to be friendly with the world. That temptation is to love the world. That temptation is to conform to the world rather than conform to the image of Almighty God. Rather than be separated from the world, we try to live with one foot in the world and still claim we're a child of God. But friend, the Bible says we're not to be a friend of the world. The Bible says that to be a friend of the world is to be the enemy of God. And the Bible also tells us we're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind unto Almighty God. And So the Bible preaches exactly against what many people are doing today. The Bible says that Genesis 6:4, that God saw the people of that day as fallen ones. Have you ever stopped to think how God might be looking at you? Would God see you as a fallen one? Men saw these people as mighty leaders. Even today, much of what is admired by the world is rejected by God. And what we discover in Genesis 6 that brought the human history to the place of judgment was compromise. A place where only Noah and his family, 8 people, in all believed in God and his word. I got a question. How can any person claim to believe God if you don't obey his word? How can any one of us, myself included, how can we claim that we are obeying God, we believe in God, we're living for God when we don't obey what God has said in his word? See, this issue of obedience is so important. It's very important to obey what God says in his word. Well, seeing as how God's people are to be doing God's will, and God's will is found in God's word, friend, don't you think that's important? Listen to me. I'd have to say it's pretty important because of something that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Here's what Jesus said. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so even Jesus says that not everyone who says to him, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into heaven, but the one who is doing the Father's will, that's the one who's going home to heaven. And I want you to note that God told Noah to build an ark because judgment was about to fall. Do you realize that except for the increase in violence and crime, the times in Noah's day, well, friend, they were pretty good. People were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage, just like in our world today. And when folks met at the marketplace or at a wedding, they laughed at Noah and his family. You see, Noah is a preacher of righteousness in an unrighteous world. People laugh today at preachers just like me. They laugh at people who want to tell them that what they're doing is unrighteous. They laugh at people telling them that you need to be right with God. And so from Noah, we can learn never underestimate the power of one person, especially one who believes in God's promises. Noah believed in the promises of God. Do you? Do you believe in what the promises that are found in the Bible? You say, like a lot of people today, well, I'm only one person. What can I do? Well, friend, we can learn from Noah that one good man can turn the tide of history. You see, long before the flood, Noah learned that reliance on God would keep him afloat through life. Do you understand that? Do you realize that? Have you learned that? That relying on God will keep you afloat no matter what your circumstances are. Words are easy to say. And a lot of people claim that they rely on God until their faith is put into action. It's when faith is put into action that we discover the truth about ourselves. Is it God or is it something else? Is it God or is it my own reasoning? Well, the Bible teaches and the Bible proves that for Noah it was God. Therefore, God gave Noah a divine order. He said, build an ark. What was Noah's purpose and God's will for Noah's life? His purpose for Noah was that Noah would obey God. That purpose is the same today for you and I. We're to obey God. God's will for Noah was to build an ark. And Noah understood that. Do you know what God's purpose is for your life? Friend, do you understand that God chose Noah to prepare for the safety of a handful? And Noah did what God commanded, and he built a huge ship on dry land. All because God told Noah that wickedness throughout the earth was unrestrained. And in Genesis 6, 17, and 18, we read, everything that is on the earth shall die. But I shall establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. His neighbors ridiculed him because no rain had ever fallen before. In fact, no one had ever seen rain. Rain had never been on the earth until the flood came. They laughed at Noah. They ridiculed Noah. They made jokes about Noah. None of it mattered to Noah because Noah was a man who owned his faith. Noah believed God, and he lived so as to please the Lord. Is that how you're living today? Are you living to please the Lord? Is that the first thought you wake in the morning? Oh Lord, by your power and by your grace, would you help me to live a life that is pleasing unto you today? Let me ask you a few questions here tonight. What matters more to you? What your friends or family say, or what God says? We know for Noah it was what God said, because friends, Noah's ark was a monument of persistence. It took him 120 years to build that ark. Day after day, he disciplined himself to get up and be persistent, doing what God had commanded him to do. He faithfully obeyed God, and he persistently worked on that ark for 120 years. And his faithful obedience brought about salvation for his family, all because Noah owned his faith. And because he did, he lived his life floating on God's promises. How many people were saved through Noah's preaching? There was a world full of people. Anybody could have been saved, but only 8 were saved. Think about that in the world in which you're living. Now we know all around the world there's billions of people. So let's pare that down for just a little bit and take your world. In your world, how many people do you know? It's been estimated that most people know at least 250 people by name. And God's purpose for you is that you be a witness of his righteousness in a world of sin. Are you preaching righteousness to the 250 people you know by name? How many people will go home to heaven because of your faithfulness to Almighty God? How many people see Christ in you? How many people, friend? Noah preached for 120 years. Most folks don't live that long nowadays. But for 120 years, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And yet only 8 people were saved. Why out of a world full of people were only 8 people saved? I'm going to tell you why. Because the number 8 in biblical numerology stands for a new beginning. And after judgment, there's always a new beginning. The number 7 stands for completeness. And when God looked at the world of Noah's day, he saw it completely full of wickedness. Bible tells us that the imaginations of a man's heart, they're beyond description of evil. And God looked down on the world of that day and he said, this isn't going to be. Judgment's about to fall. And so God's judgment fell. And a new beginning began with 8 souls, Noah and his family. Friend, even in the numbers of Scripture, there is meaning. And we better pay attention to what the meaning of the numbers in Scripture mean, because they point to the fact that when you have faith in God, you rest in his promises just like Noah and his family did. Are you resting on God's promises tonight? What is it you're really trusting in? Now, there's a whole lot of folk that go to churches just like this church here. but they're not resting in the promises of God. While they claim to be living a life of faith, reality reveals they're really resting and trusting in their own reasoning. How many of you realize the scriptures were written so that we might learn from the lives of others? I don't know how many people Noah preached to in 120 years, but out of the 250 people you know by name, how many of them are going to come to salvation in Christ because you were found faithful? In Noah's day, only 8. How many in your day? The stories we read about, the truths we read about in scriptures, well, they reveal why people succeeded or did not succeed. We can know whether it was God they really trusted in or not, just by reading the story, the history of their lives. See, there are many in the Bible who could talk faith. And there are many in this world today who can talk faith. Only problem is they can't live faith. And none of us can live faith if we don't obey God and trust God. Trust God in all of our ways. If we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and then allow Him to direct our path. And that's really the issue. We come to the issue of submission. We do real well until we get to that part. Allow Him to direct our path. Well, I want to tell you, Noah allowed God to direct his path, and I pray that you will too. But there are many in the Bible who could talk faith. They just could not live faith, and that same thing is true in our world today. And so we must ask the question, what is faith? Faith is simply this, forsaking all. I trust Him. All that I am, all that I ever hope to be is found in Christ alone. No reasoning of my own will I trust, but in Christ alone is where I'll make my stand. Faith is something that is seen in the lives who are walking it, not talking it. Are you walking it? Noah walked in it, and he talked about it every day as he built that ark. For 120 years, Noah walked and talked faith. His faith was clearly evident by his walk because he owned his faith. He was willing to be laughed at, ridiculed, and scorned. None of it mattered as long as he could fulfill God's purpose and God's will for his life. And so as a result, as I've mentioned several times tonight, he preached every day by how he lived that he was a child of God. Can you and I say the same? Well, let's make an application as we bring this message down to a close. Friend, Noah's life shows that one faithful person can change the tide of history. God wrote in his book how Noah turned the tide. Noah impacted his world for righteousness' sake. And the world can never forget the judgment of the flood or the righteousness of Noah. And the promise that God made to him. We've all seen a rainbow, and the rainbow is a reminder to all Christians to be faithful and to remain faithful. A new day, a new beginning is just ahead. Don't give in to compromise. Be faithful. Be found like Noah, floating on God's promises. Well, I want to ask you a question tonight, friend. Do you know what the gospel is? Have you been born again? If you were to die tonight and Jesus was to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? Would you know enough of the gospel to be welcomed in to Jesus' heaven? I want to share with you tonight the meaning of the gospel so that you can find the grace you need to be floating through life on God's precious promises we've preached about here tonight. G stands for God, who created each one of us for the sole purpose of having a relationship with us. O lets us know that our sin has separated us from a holy God. P Because God is holy, he cannot dwell with we who are unholy until we deal sufficiently with our sin. S means sin cannot be removed by good deeds alone. Family and friends, lost and saved, we cannot get to heaven and have our sins forgiven through good works. If that were the case, Jesus would not have had to die on the cross. P means for paying. Somebody had to pay the price of our sins. So Jesus became our sin bearer when he died on the cross for our sin. E means everyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ through repentance of sin can receive the forgiveness of their sins and inherit eternal life. And L stands for life eternal. That's forever with Jesus. That's what the word gospel means. Now, the good news is you might not be saved. And you'd say, well, I've listened to that and I'm not saved. And the good news for you is that you do not have to remain not saved. You can be saved today simply by praying a prayer. And I'm going to pray this prayer the first time you listen to it. And then, because I don't want you praying something you don't mean, understand, or believe. And then I'll pray it again and you can pray it. Here, you listen first. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. But you can and you did when you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me for sinning against you, Jesus. I turn from my life of sin by repenting of them and I am turning to you now. Please accept my repentance and allow me to receive your free gift of salvation. By faith, I am asking you to be my Lord and my Savior. My heart is yours. Thank you for loving me and saving me. Now help me to follow you and live a life that brings you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to pray that again very quickly. And if you sincerely want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. But you can and you did when you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me for sinning against you, Jesus. I turn from my life of sin by repenting of them, and I am turning to you now. Please accept my repentance and allow me to receive your free gift of salvation. By faith, I am asking you to be my Lord and my Savior. My heart is yours. Thank you for loving me and saving me. Now help me to follow you and live a life that brings you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friend, if you made a decision to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, would you please email or call us at the number on the screen? We want to help you get started in your new life with Jesus Christ. If you made some other decision, please let us know. You are important to us because you are important to God. And now, may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest and abide upon you. Amen and amen.